Hey, Rebels. My name is Matthew Barton. Welcome to the Rebellion Brewing Podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with Sandra Baker, also known as the Beer Maven. She's an Alberta author and photographer with an eye for all things craft beer. If you're following the Alberta beer scene, chances are you've seen Sandra's work popping up all over the place. I wanted to talk to her about her craft beer journey, her work on social media, and have her share her thoughts about the Alberta beer scene. So let's get into it. Sandra, welcome to the show.
Hi, Matt. Thanks so much for having me today.
How's it going?
I'm going great. I tell you, the polar vortex is over. I can go outside now without freezing my face. Life's pretty good. And I think I might have a beer on the deck later today.
Really?
Absolutely.
Like minus 17 or what's the temperature there?
You know what? As long as it's warmer than minus 20, I'm all good. Summer's a state of mind.
I think they said we broke a record for minus 50 Celsius last week.
I heard that. I think that was the coldest I've ever felt. I grew up in the Maritimes and I remember walking to the convenience store on my lunch break, Matt, and it was minus 50 and I couldn't feel my legs after about 10 seconds. So that was about what we had last week. Yeah. So lovely.
One of the things I remember about Newfoundland was the damp feeling is so much different than the prairies. It's a cold that just even your socks can't dry out, you know?
Yeah, you feel it more in your bones when you're wet and cold, right? Like you love it in the summer because everything's moist and humid. I just said the M word, sorry. It feels so nice on your skin and your hair. And the dryness of Calgary, yeah, it shocks you. Like I remember trying to train for a half marathon and running in January, wondering why I was doing this to myself. I did that one time. I did a half marathon one time, and then I discovered I didn't like running. So I'd rather sit out and have a beer.
I think the longest I'll run is maybe across the street from where I parked to get to the brewery to go have a beer.
That's me right now. Absolutely. I see people out there running, and I just think, why? Why?
Dedication.
Dedication. That's what it is. A little bit of craziness, I think.
So let's start with your beer story. How did you get into craft beer?
You know, I started about 2015, Matt, my journey. I was working in oil and gas and lost my job along with a lot of people. And my husband and I, we would go to the store and we would see these beer and bombers. I used to call myself a bottle snob. Back in the day, I just always liked drinking beer out of bottles. Now I don't care because I'm pouring it out. I want to see the color. But I was seeing all these bombers everywhere. So I would buy a couple bombers. I'd go home and no one that I knew about these, knew about the craft beer, knew what was going on. So I decided I would take a picture of the beer and I would put it online. Why not Twitter? So I started a Twitter. Hey, who doesn't want to see pictures of my beer, right? Everyone's taking pictures of food. I'm taking pictures of beer. And I just started getting out there and started getting to know some of the brewery peeps, the brewmasters and the business owners. And I really just swung from there. So it really started for my love of seeing these beautiful bottles of bombers, which you really don't see anymore in the store, and wanting to discover where they were made, what they were made with, and what the story was behind the drink, the beer.
When you bring up bombers, I kind of giggle to myself because we were literally just talking about that yesterday. The format change that craft brewers went from the bigger bomber format, which is what, 650 milliliters or something like that?
It was, let me see, I got a 475. I've got a bomber here. Oh, well, so this one is 750. That's bigger than most. But yeah, it was about 650.
And then we talked about the evolution of the transition to cans as breweries got better equipment and the smaller canning tools came available to the younger breweries. They were able to move into cans and then give a format that's a little more friendly to somebody who doesn't necessarily want to blast through a full bomber of IPA.
It's, I remember one of my first and still one of my favorite IPAs is the Eclipse of the Hop. And it came, you remember that? It was the biggest bottle that you saw, and it had the most beautiful little top close on it, because they knew you're not going to crush through this 70 IBU IPA on your own, or you were, and then that's all you tasted for a week after. But
yeah, the swing tops, I never really bought into that. I was like, eh, just finish it, because it's never the same day two.
Honestly, I can't really remember the last time I didn't finish a beer. So I do like to share. I'll share with my husband, because I want to drink 5 different kinds of beer, right? I really don't want to sit and have 5 cans all to myself. That's a bit much. So having someone that I can share them with, say, oh, let's have half and half. That's how I like to drink.
A journey, mm-hmm. An exploration.
A flight into craft beer. That's right.
So where do you think the craft beer scene is right now? You said you started with Twitter. I first found out about you on Instagram. Where are you kind of active now?
You know, I'm active on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. I really like the community feel behind Twitter. On Twitter, you can have conversations with each other, and it's not just, here's a picture. It's more of a dialogue, an opportunity for an open dialogue, and it's that community and connection. Where I find the Instagram, it's a little less about connection. It's a little more about putting yourself out there, and that's cool. And I do it. But I do really prefer the Twitter.
We had Northern Chicken from Calgary tweeting about us yesterday, and I was like, oh, fried chicken, we've made it.
We've made it. It's big time, baby.
I love fried chicken. I can't get enough. I have a weak spot. There's a fried chicken joint here, and I keep asking Paul, I'm like, man, when are you going to get our beer? When are you going to get a beer on your menu? Fried chicken deserves good beer. So
that's just the perfect marriage right there.
Yeah.
Right? The crispiness and the heat from the fried chicken, and then you're cracking open a nice cold. I don't know. I'd probably go for a Pilsner with a little bit of a bite to it. Czechoslovakian style Pilsner. Yeah.
I don't know if it's just me, but I find people on Twitter, I like them more than I like people on other platforms.
Thank you. Thank you. I agree to an extent. once people start talking politics, I'm blocking them. I'm on a beer feed. It's a beer maven. Let's talk about beer and things that make you happy, right? I don't want to look at my phone and start to feel sad and all dark inside. I want light and fluffy. Nice people.
I have a Twitter goal, or kind of a personal rule, where I try to post 4 positive things for every political or negative comment, because it's easy to fall into that trap. So I want to try and force myself back into inanity or absurdism or humor, just to palate cleanse between the dank, bitter, acrid posts.
I love that. I just recently attended a webinar at the University of Calgary on the psychology of social media and how and why people act differently online than they do in person. You know, I studied psychology in university, and I'm a fan of the study, and I never really understood the difference. I'm a kind country person online, and I'm the same way in person, right? And I never understood how manners didn't extend from one platform to another. And maybe I'm old fashioned. I don't know. Maybe that's stating my age a little bit, but it's an interesting thing. And that's why I do like the Twitter and the online beer communities, because, you know, they're cool, they're rad, they're fun, they're vibrant. They want to talk about the beer they're drinking, and they want to know the IBU and what the hops are in this, and what new sour are you coming out with? And it's fun and it's light. Well, we need that right now. We need more of that.
I try to sneak little hints or secrets about what's coming up next to people on Twitter. I'm like, by the way, mm-hmm. here's something that no one else knows yet. Mm. And you get this information just because we're goofing off on Twitter.
I love that. I love when breweries post pictures sometimes of coming up next. I'm usually bang on. I'm usually, I can guess by a picture or by a little hint. That's because my life is just full of craft beer. So maybe it's not fair to everyone else, but.
You've been at this for a little bit of time, working on different platforms, meeting with tons of beer people. Do you have like a favorite memory that if you sat down with friends, cracked a beer and said, hey, remember this moment? That was awesome.
I think I do. I think it's hard for sure. Like the first one that comes to mind when you say that is walking around hand in hand with my husband in Victoria. It's my first time there. I'm a gardener. Man, you show me a place in Canada where I can garden year round, I'm in. I was already to move there after half an hour. But walk around Victoria and they have a whole craft beer map, and stumbling into Phillips, and you know, they treated me so great, and they gave me, you know, it was a private tour, and it was drinking beer right from the tank. And that's one of my little beer porns, is when you get the brewmaster, give you a tour, and then they crack, oh, this beer's ready. You want to try it from the tank? Oh, my eyes light up like roses. And yeah, that's a good one. And having and spending a day with ex-marketing manager at Big Rock was really cool too, because it's, you know, it's not one of those small microbreweries for sure. It's a massive facility. So when, you know, I visit a lot of small breweries, which I love, of course, but when you can visit a large facility like Big Rock, you know, I was taken into the malting room, the hop room, which I was a total beer geek over, because she was slicing open all these different hop bags and I was smelling and beer hops from all over the place. She goes, oh, here's our New Zealand section. They had a section, right? Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, you know, I need to smell all these, right? And they had a barrel room where all of these barrel aged beers, which I'm a fan of, barrels from all over the world. So it was cool. Yeah. And it's kind of the opposite of each other, but it was a really neat experience as well.
I like that you talked about bringing up, pulling off a beer off the tank, because that is probably my signature craft beer memory from going to Wisconsin. I got to meet Kirby, and he's one of the owners of Wisconsin Brewing Co. And my wife and I had just walked in, and we were kind of chatting with one of the girls who was pulling pints, and she kind of twigged. She's like, you know a little bit about beer, don't you? She goes, hang on, let me get Kirby. And he comes out of the back, and he's got this red Irish setter dog right at nipping at his heels, and he's got a big ponytail. And he's like, come with me. And he gives me a personal tour, doesn't know me from Adam. And he's like, oh, we've got this Doppelbock right on the tank. And he's like, here, go. He just hands me a glass. He pulls one for himself, lets me go. And it was such a wonderful, loving experience. And I was just like, man, Kirby, you've got a fan in me for life. I love what you're doing. And so I love that you had a very similar experience as like your peak.
Absolutely. I still remember the taste of the fresh raspberry wheat beer from Grizzly Paw in Canmore. And this was quite a few years ago. And of course, they were still well known back then, but you know, not as well as they are today. And he says, we just finished this raspberry. Who likes raspberries? I'm like, oh, I have a raspberry forest in my backyard, please. So I walked up, and you can just smell, like you can just, you can see the head of that perfect white foam and that aroma of raspberries. And oh, I'm really thirsty right now.
Well, why don't we crack some beers and talk about them?
I love that. Let's do it. Is there a greater sound than that in the world?
It always makes my mouth water.
I mean, maybe baby's first cry. It makes your mouth water, exactly. So I am pouring right now a beer all the way from the east, just like I am from. So I'm from PEI, and this beer is actually from the other island out east. This is from Newfoundland. And this is Quitty Vitty's. This is their small batch pineapple sour. And I haven't tried it yet, but I'm really into sours right now. It seems a little off season, but it's very beautiful. There's a lot of carbonation in there. It has the effervescence almost of like a champagne or a cider. It's got a very thin white head, and definitely has aroma of pineapple. So I'm going in. Oh, that is lovely.
Do you think they used lactose in it, or is it?
No. I don't think that this is it has a very bitter taste to it, like a almost like a sour candy. I'm still a fan of candies at my age, but I feel like I'm 85. I keep saying that I'm old. I'm not old. But I love candies, and I don't know a lot of adults that still eat candy, but I like sour candy, and that really kind of eased my palate into soured beers. And I'm not sure, there's no information on, and that's one thing I will say, Quitty Vitty, put information on your can. You know, when people drink a beer, and I know for me, for sure, I want to read the story. I want the story of your brewery, and I want the story of the beer. Like, you don't need to write me a poem. I did have a beer last week that had Lord Byron's poetry on it. And that's cool. I mean, I read it. But when you're canning or when you're bottling your beer, put a little information on there for people.
We struggle with that. We go back and forth. When we very first started, we had kind of like two paragraphs. And you'll see on our bottles, it's still kind of that vestigial little description. It's kind of a yep. little love note from Mark to the person who's cracking open the bottle. Mm-hmm. But for our cans, we switch to 4 simple words because we realized the consumer is only going to be looking at your can for 3 to 5 seconds, and we've only got you for maybe 5 words. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, if you aren't going to pick it up after 4 or 5 words, you probably weren't going to pick it up after 2 paragraphs.
Oh, in the store when you're first buying it. Absolutely.
Right. We leave the storytelling to more social media and websites and stuff like that. We still grapple. We still argue about, we can't decide whether we should go back to having a more fulsome description on the can.
You should, because you know, in the store, I won't read your story. I'm gonna a lot of the time buy with my eyes. Ooh, that looks great, right? You're not gonna go up to a can that doesn't look good. But when I'm home and then I crack it, and as I'm sipping it and I'm grabbing the can, I want to read the flavors that I'm supposed to be pulling out of it. So I want to know the IBU, and I want to know some of the hops that are in here, and I want to know where the malts, and maybe that's a little nerdy, but I don't know.
I don't think that's nerdy. I think it's important for people who care about what they're consuming to know the story and care about the ingredients. I think that's part of the new craft experience.
It is. It's making that connection to the brewery and to the brewers and to the people that created it and where it comes from and what the ingredients are. And you'd be more apt, especially if you're going out and you want to pair a beer with a food that you're having, you'd be more apt to get something, you know, if I know I'm going to cook some spicy food, I want something that has a nice amount of hop, and I might be looking for something specific. I might be looking for a Cascade hop. So I do appreciate.
How's that pineapple hanging up there?
The pineapple is really after the swallow, like after you swallow and breathe through, you're getting that, I won't say a light pineapple because it's definitely there, but it's pungent with bitterness. My palate is tingling with that over sour flavored, and it's really well done. It's quite clear, which has me questioning if there's a lactose in it or not. But like I said, I'm just getting into sours. I've been drinking IPAs for years. Stouts are actually my favorite beer style. So I'll drink stouts, you know, any day of the year. It doesn't matter if it's plus 30 or minus 30.
I started off as a stout guy. I think in the first kind of 5 years of me getting into craft, it was hundreds and hundreds of styles of stout. And only within the past year or two have I really switched to IPAs and pale ales and exploring other styles, because I just love that roasty, warm character. But I think sours are going to be a huge part of the future. I don't think they'll ever go away.
I wonder. I don't think that they'll go away either, Matt. I think that sours have been you look at how they go back to Belgian and the lambic, which is the traditional sour, but people have been brewing sours in North America for some time now, and I do think it has taken longer, because when you're introducing something to your palate that is so far to one side, it's really hard to get used to it. It's surprising and it's shocking. And then you think, okay, this is intentionally soured beer, which I have to remind some people when I'm doing tastings. Yeah, it's sour for a reason. It's supposed to be sour. It's not gone sour. And then I always tell people, get it out of your head. Like, understand what you're about to drink before you let it taste, before it comes over your palate, because you don't want to be in such a shock. You want to be able to enjoy the nuances of flavors. But it is, there's something really refreshing about a sour, Matt. It's pretty crushable. And I could see having some of these after mowing the lawn.
After mowing the lawn, I like
that. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love mowing the lawn.
One of the things we kind of do is we treat Alberta like a crystal ball, because the market is a little bit more mature and there are more beer drinkers. So you can kind of see trends picking up steam before they hit here.
Mm-hmm, and okay.
We launched our products in Alberta about 3 weeks ago. It's a lot of red tape and nonsense, but surprisingly has been easier to deal with than our own local regulator. But IPAs and sours were the two big sellers, the two big winners over the last 3 weeks. We had no idea what would happen. Mm. Sours. Boom. Bam. Alberta wants sour beer.
Oh, yeah, we do. We are just taking it all in. And I'm surprised when breweries have started coming out with sours now in the middle of the winter. Right? Because I think traditionally people are like, oh, sours are our summer seasonal, but sours are coming out now. There was a new sour that just came out the other week. I loved it. It's New Level Brewing, which is here in Calgary, and it's their peach cobbler sour. Uh-huh. So if you can imagine, you're in the kitchen and your mother's baking a peach cobbler, and the smell, it's like vanilla and cinnamon, and then you have a taste of it, and it's like brown sugar and vanilla. Oh, that's what the beer tastes like. It is a liquid peach cobbler and happens to be 6.2%. So you're welcome.
Their peach cobbler reminds me of the rhubarb crisp that we did. And unfortunately, it had lactose. I didn't have it, but everybody else is like, this is like dessert. So the way you describe that vanilla and the caramel kind of reminds me.
Oh, Raz, oh, I tell you, I love rhubarb. Strawberry rhubarb pie. We ate a lot of rhubarb on the island growing up in the Maritimes. I'm not sure. Maybe it was just a cheap fruit. Is it? It's a fruit, right? Rhubarb is considered a fruit or a vegetable?
I think it's a rude, healthy plant that grows in crappy soil conditions and just doesn't die.
It doesn't die. It just keeps coming back year after year. And we would snap it off and chew it as a kid and make that face. But yeah, the rhubarb sours are a great beer for brewers. I would love someone to come out with a strawberry rhubarb sour. That would be delicious.
Didn't Fuggles and Warlock do a strawberry rhubarb beer?
I'm not sure. I've had Fuggles and Warlock, and they make a really nice strawberry. Is it a strawberry wit? I can't think of it right now.
My memory is fuzzy, but I think it was a couple years, maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. I think I had it from Kensington Market, because I was visiting family for a wedding anniversary in Calgary. It escapes me. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Those flavors marry so beautifully together. And I like beers that can have, you know, you think of spice and hops. And I know I may be one of the only weirdos out there that I actually really like a spicy beer. And I had a sriracha one time, and who made it? It looked like a sriracha bottle. It was insane. Rogue, probably Rogue, because they're crazy down there. But it was a sriracha bottle, and it was a spicy beer, but it had a lot of hop in it as well. And when you have those contrasting flavors, you know, with the spice can tone down the bitterness of the hop, and then the hop can also, you know, just mellow down the spice a little bit, and they just go so well together.
Can I tell you a little secret? We shipped you a care package of some beer to say thank you for coming on the show.
Lovely.
And one of those beers is a Mexican hot chocolate stout called Night Viper.
Called Night what?
Night Viper.
Night Viper. I love it. I was just going to say before you said that, that I love spicy stouts. So, yes, Mexican. Put some chilies in there. Yeah.
It's true, it has chilies. This time they weren't so aggressive on the heat. It's a very gentle, creeping,
Approachable.
it's present, but yeah, easy to drink, very chocolatey. I hope you dig it.
Oh,
It's
I'm gonna
got
love it.
art featuring Joel Hustak. He's a local guy from here in Regina, and he's a rad dude, and he's made a couple other pieces for us, like our Pandemonium, which is really exciting with two panda bears doing kung fu. He's just a cool guy, and I'm really excited to show people from outside Regina his artwork. So.
Oh, I love that. I drove up to visit my brother who lives in Flin Flon. Flin
Nice.
Flon. I love saying Flin Flon. So I drove up and then I stopped in. I had to spend the evening in Saskatoon and I stopped into Nine Mile
Nice.
Brewing. Yeah. And I had a conversation with one of the owners and it was nice. Wow, you guys have some good breweries. For sure.
Was it Sean?
It was Sean, yeah.
Sean Moen.
It was Sean. Yeah, absolutely. I crushed some beer and brought some home and they have bombers, which made me very excited because I can't find them in Alberta anymore. No one's doing bombers. I understand. I've pleaded with my brewer friends and they said, "Oh, they just take up so much space in the stores and they're really hard to market, right? So if you stand them up because you want to see what they are, well, they take up an extra level of shelf space." So
Right.
it's fine. Honestly, I'm cracking them open and pouring them into a glass anyway, so it doesn't matter what vessel they come in. And plus, the cans are better. They're easier, they're cheaper for the breweries, and they don't allow the rays to come through to damage the flavors at all.
I would say to anybody from Alberta coming to Saskatoon, 9 Mile should definitely be on their list to check out.
Absolutely.
Small and charming, but they recently went under expansion, got some more tanks. I think they've quadrupled their capacity or something like that. I
Something
might be
close to
wrong.
that. No, you're right.
It's about time. They needed to expand. It was it's a tough row to hoe with when you have very limited space. So I'm glad to see that they're moving forward.
They were in a small facility there. He was making, as large batches as he could, but yeah.
That's a long day.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
How many days have you spent brewing? I saw a couple photos of you hanging around with the brew tanks.
Do you know what? Well, I have friends who are brewmasters and who own breweries, and so they know to have me over whenever they're brewing, but I've actually have never brewed a beer. And I think that's a horrible thing to say, and I hate myself for it. But it's like, hello, brewmasters, tell me when you're brewing a beer. I will come. I will don my PPE. I will arrive on time. It's fun, and I love the whole process, just the smell of it and being able to taste it. When my friend when they were creating Legend 7 Brewing in Calgary, I went through that whole process with them, picking out the land for the brewery, getting excited when they finally found a spot, sitting down when they're just putting up boards and building the building and having a beer with some of the owners and the brewmaster, and then seeing that whole process, tasting the, do you like this Pilsner? What's wrong? It's got a little bit too much hop. Okay, let me tone the hop down. Just that whole process of a brewery from day one to where they are now. It's very cool to be a part of that, and it has that sense of community feel to it. And I just want to be along for the ride.
I'll tell you a secret. I have not designed a beer. I have helped brew, just do exactly what they tell you, kind of more like a swamper or a lackey, Yes, mister, I'll lift the hops into the tub. But I don't think you really cut your teeth as a brewer until you've spent 8 hours packaging. Standing on the line, packaging is really, I think, the true badge of suffering and honor for your craft.
And cleaning the floor. That is a huge part of being a brewing. How many times, Sondra, watch where you're walking. Sondra, watch it. Yes, I'm in a brewery. I'm wearing rubbers. It's all good. I'm not wearing heels or flip-flops. You understand there's a stream at a foot, anywhere that you go. But yeah, there's a lot of work to being a brewmaster and to brewing and even just to making a beer. But you're right. It's some of the most amount of work is the stuff that is maybe not the funnest to do.
I see one of our guys, he's 6'5". He crawls into the mash tun through that tiny little door and he's scrubbing it by hand. I'm just like, geez, man, you love beer.
I've been in there. It's a very small opening, and I'm a curvy girl. So I was climbing down that little ladder, and you don't want to slip at all. And that was part of my big rock adventure. That was fun.
Did they tell you about the hoist mechanism in case of slip and fall? Did they give you the riot act?
It was, Sondra, you'd look really great if you would go in that tank and I could take your picture popping out the top. Sure. I'm not going to say no.
We have a whole winch and pulley system.
Really? Safety first. Now I feel bad for saying that. There was no Wemyss concern, so it was all good. It was very clean and I had sneakers on, so.
Oh, they're going to be throwing a bunch of acid in there anyways. I wouldn't.
Oh, God. Yeah.
If anybody's from Saskatchewan, where should they be going in Alberta to check out craft beer that you are excited about?
Do you know what? There I used to be at the point where I could go to every single brewery opening. Every time there was a new brewery, I would go down, I would meet the people that were involved, I would try their beer. But I think we have over 50 now in Calgary and over 125 in the province or 150 in the province. We have so many that I definitely don't know them all, but I am pretty excited about what they're doing. There's a brewery in town called The Establishment. And if you go into any co-op in the city, which is a great place where I like to get my local craft beer, you will just have a lineup. Just the entire row is all The Establishment. They have a beer called Afternoon Delight. Afternoon Delight. And it's not just because I'm a huge Ron Burgundy fan that I like this beer, but it's their New England Pale Ale. And I like it because it has a crushability effect to it. It's 5.4%, but it also has those beautiful notes of citrus in there, and the hop is going to round out that sweetness. And it does have that kind of opaqueness to it and the smell of the orange rind. So I'm definitely a fan of that brewery, The Establishment. And I've been a longtime fan of, let me see, Legend 7. I think they've got some great things coming out of there. They won gold for their Pilsner in the World Brewing Awards. Toolshed is one of my favorites. I've been crushing Flat Cap Stout for years and years. They recently came out with a new berry sour that's in my fridge and I have not tried yet. Let me see here. Do you know what this is? No, this guy is from Medicine Hat. Have you heard of Medicine Hat Brewing Company?
Yes, because Mitch, the brewmaster, I've been drinking his beers for years when he was the brewmaster at Bushwhacker in Regina. So he has like Burnside Blood Orange and a bunch of recipes that I've just grown to love over the years.
He has perfected brewing with oranges. He really has. I will put that out there. When I had the creamsicle ale this summer, it just blew my mind. I love the creamsicle. It has that sweetness to it. This one I'm holding right now is their Cambridge Coconut Porter. So I am a fan of stouts, but this is a porter, but it has that rich and that smooth and that toastiness with a little sweetness from the coconut. So I'm a huge fan of what the Medicine Hat peeps are throwing out. And I really like Cannery Brewing too. You must have heard of Cannery.
I've seen them, yes.
Cannery is out of Penticton in BC, and they have, this is another kind of juicy IPA. This is their Hop Chowda.
Hop Chowda?
Hop Chowda. It's a hazy IPA. It's about 6.5 ABV, so it's got a little oomph in there. But I love NEPAs. I love anyone who's got a NEPA going on, send it my way. I wanna try it. I love the juiciness. But Cannery is a really great brewery to try as well. They also have some killer stouts. They have a Heist, which is a maple stout, and I love maple syrup. I really? May or may not drink maple syrup, like straight from the maple, the can.
That is news to me, because every time I've had a maple stout, it's been stale or disappointing, and it has never lived up to my hopes and dreams. I've always been let down.
Oh, I'm sad by that. Okay, so then you need to try the maple stout from Cannery Brewing. It's called Heist, after the, I believe it was about 2012, when they had, I think it was like $18 million worth of liquid gold maple syrup was stolen from Quebec. So that's what, yeah, it was $18 million. I was right. Man, look at that. It says it right on the can. Have you had Sweet Baby Jesus?
I have not. Tell me about it.
Okay. So Sweet Baby Jesus is a chocolate peanut butter porter.
Okay.
And it's from, like, I know, chocolate peanut butter. Okay. It's a liquid Reese's peanut butter cup, but it has alcohol in it. So, you know, check and check. And this is 6.2%, and it's from Duclaw, which is in Baltimore. And Duclaw is killer. Like, everyone knows Duclaw.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
But Sweet Baby Jesus, it's kind of hard to find. I kind of give people heck when they do their orders. I always make sure they're aware of it. But it is a really beautiful, well-rounded peanut butter chocolate. And another one that is really up there as well is the Belching Beaver.
I have had Belching Beaver.
That's insane. It is so much peanut butter and so much chocolate. It's divine. Very rich.
I feel like peanut butter is a very dangerous thing to put in a beer, because you can do it well, or you can have like a paste in your teeth and mm-hmm. then you have to go brush your teeth.
Oh, that's not good. Don't give me one of those. Yeah, you want a smoothness, almost like a melted peanut butter. But it's not that something I would sit down and have a six pack of. I really don't know anyone that does that with stouts, to be honest. If I'm gonna have a stout, I'm probably gonna have two. And then I might move into porters or a brown ale, and then throw my palate and just be really crazy and go into IPAs or sours. But those are something, because they cover your palate. I always tell people, if you're going to have an IPA or if you want to have a sour, maybe save that for the end. Because if you're starting out with something that has a lot of hop in it or a lot of intense flavor, that's going to cover your palate. Like I was talking earlier about the hop, the eclipse of the hop. It's there for a long time, unless you're going to go have mouthwash and toothpaste, and it's just not a good experience.
You have this diverse background with beer. You have an amazing collection in front of you, and you've given me a few recommendations. If somebody's been listening to this podcast and they want to follow you and find out more about what gets you excited about beer, where should they go?
They can follow me as The Beer Maven on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. And I love when people ask questions about beer, what pairs well, if they have a partner that doesn't like beer, what should they get them? I love when people say, I don't like beer. Oh no, you just haven't found the one. That's all.
I love that philosophy. Sandra, thank you for your time today.
You're very welcome, Matt. Thank you so much for having me on. Cheers.
Cheers. Rebels, thanks for listening today. If you have any questions or comments about this episode, be sure to join us on our brand new Facebook group page, The Rebellion Brewing Podcast. I'm going to include links in the show notes so you can find Sandra online on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm also proud to let you know that we're members of the Saskatchewan Podcast Network. It's a one-stop shop for tons of locally produced shows from across our province, and you can find them at thesaskpodcastnetwork.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd so you don't miss out on the latest in Sask craft beer news. Thank you for joining the Rebellion.